Okay, this is the hour we'll take your phone calls as we talk about demons on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Ralph Sarchi with us. Ralph, did you come across any cases where people were using the Ouija board and something happened to them?
Yeah, there's plenty of those.
Yeah. Not a toy.
Well, it is a toy. It just happens to bring some bad things into some people's lives occasionally. That's the evilness of it. It is a toy. Supposed to be harmless, but it's not. Not to some people, anyway.
When you're with people, especially the families of those people who are possessed, I mean, what do you say to them? How do you guide them through this?
Well, the first thing I make sure that they do is they start to build a relationship with God. I tell them how important that is. That's the first thing that has to be done. That's the first thing that I'm going to lead people to do. No matter what they do, that's the first thing they do. They have to start to build a relationship with God. I don't know many of them that don't want to at this point, to tell you the truth, because, they know something is definitely bigger than us, and they're dealing with it. So they're pretty willing to be led in the direction that they should be going.
Ralph, as you continue doing this, I mean, what's the future hold for you, my friend? What do you do next?
I don't make plans for the future. I just let things unfold. I serve God's will, and I don't know what that is sometimes. So I just go, I get up every day and I do my thing, and I offer my day to him, and whatever he wants to bring to me, he brings to me. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. I'll deal with it.
Well, you have to deal with it, I guess.
For the most part. I could either deal with it in the right manner or I could deal with it in the wrong manner. That's a choice that we all have, that we all have to make.
All right, we've got a full board of calls here for you, so let's go to them.
Oh, thank God. I was figuring maybe nobody's going to call up.
Oh, are you kidding? Every line is booked.
Oh, that's great.
First-time caller, Anthony in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Anthony.
I'll go right to my point. I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior in the Navy back in 77, and so I've been very shielded up on what I'm about to tell you. I work with a person who I believe is a serial killer, and this is an active case that's going here in South Florida. I had a situation where things were said to me, threats, such and such, to where I had to report it to the police. It's at the point where this person knows I know too much about him.
Not good.
And I had separated myself from this job. The good Lord took me out of this job, had me sit back and take a look at it from a different angle. And I've been running into people who've actually worked with serial killers, where I told my story, and they said, this person's in the box. Now, going on YouTube, it's funny to have the same person's name in YouTube under serial killers. Not just one in this company, there's actually three. And when I saw them interchange with each other in the business, not knowing why they knew each other in a goofy way, all their names are in the under serial killers on YouTube, which is really a freaky thing. And when I explain that to some of the workers that work for the company, please be careful of these people. They're starting to see, because...
I assume, Anthony, none of these people have been convicted of anything, right?
That's correct. They're still active. And like house arrest, I think one, and not enough information where they have to let them go. And you're right about the disconnect. I had to research this so deep, where the person that I had run into is a judge who actually interrogated Son of Sam. He says, be careful. You're going to enter a world of darkness, and you're going to get headaches. He says, just let it come to you, which I've been doing, and I can't believe the things that I'm seeing. And it's very difficult to sit down and explain to somebody who's in the knowledge of this field, because they look at you like you're a nutcase.
Well, Ralph, what do we recommend here?
Well, from what you've told me, it doesn't seem to me like you're dealing with anything in the demonic realm as far as the activity is concerned. But if you're dealing with people that you suspect are serial killers, it's rare for serial killers to really hook up like that in a business type of setting. Usually they're, you know, they have a twisted connection that leads them down the path. But, you know, if these people are actually committing murders, you got to be real careful with what you do, because they don't have anything to lose by coming after you.
That's right. He'll end up being one of the victims.
Yeah, so what you need to do is, you know, be guided by the police department, and hopefully it'll be able to give you sufficient protection. Are you able to protect yourself?
He's moved on, Ralph, so...
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, if I were you, I would definitely look to get something that you will be able to defend yourself against people that, you know, might seek to do you harm.
Aren't most rank-and-file police officers in favor of guns and concealed weapons for citizens?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, without a doubt.
It's the chiefs, the police chiefs, and the administrators. They're the ones who don't want this.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of your politicians.
Yep.
Because your commissioners and your chiefs take orders from somebody above them. It's your politician, you know, for whatever reasons. Not all of them, but, you know, a good majority of them don't want people out there being, you know, with the ability to defend themselves. I'm not one of them.
Let's go to M in Philadelphia on the wild card line. Hello, M. Go ahead.
Hello there, Mr. Nori. Hello there, Mr. Sarchi.
Hi.
It's very good to be on your show. Hello. My inquiry concerns you, Mr. Sarchi. It's sort of personal. I would like to know whether or not you've encountered any possessed objects. I have an issue concerning some missing artifacts.
Well, objects can...
Yes,
I'm
sir?
Sorry. Go ahead. No, I thought you were done. Objects cannot be possessed. They could be what we consider contact objects, or they could have an evil surrounding them, meaning... A lot of your sorcerers will use an object, usually something personal or with the essence of the person that they are targeting, and they'll unsuspectingly send this object or give this object to that person. And once it's accepted, the curse is accepted also, and demonic activity could, you know, be the result of that, which is usually what the case is.
Yeah, we've got some people who think that some of the objects can be attached by bad spirits. You know, if somebody, for example, owned a baseball bat, that it could be possessed and stuff like that. But you haven't encountered that.
Well, no, there are no objects that can be possessed. It's only, you know, it's only human beings or living objects. I have never even come across an animal who was possessed. It doesn't work like that. The objects, like I said, will be utilized by sorcerers, and they could be objects that the demonic will manipulate in a home to bring fear. And if you look at John Zaffis with the Haunted Collector,
yeah,
a lot of those objects are responsible for the hauntings that they bring about. It's because of the connection to that object, not the object itself.
Let's go next to JJ in Lancaster, South Carolina. Hey, JJ, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to ask your guest, have you ever heard of Dr. Derek Prince and his ministries regarding deliverance from demonic forces?
Derek Prince. I have not. How about you, Ralph?
The name sounds familiar, but I'm not quite sure. I know there are a lot of people out there that are doing this stuff from all different avenues, all different denominations, and, you know, a lot of people getting help.
A lot of people need help, too.
Yeah, they do. I'm one of them. I always need help.
Well, you know what you were saying before the break? I had asked you if you're exhausted during these episodes, and you said you are wiped out. You got to be careful. You know, it killed Edgar Cayce, the prophet. He just did too much. Do you sometimes you've done too much?
You can overextend yourself. And basically, the reality of the situation is exorcists should not be doing hundreds of them. Exorcists should be doing in a lifetime maybe three or four genuine cases of possession, maybe a half a dozen at the most. But God didn't design it where there were just a small group or a small percentage of clergymen that are out there actually involved in the battle. But that's what we found. We have free will. You could do whatever you want. But at the end, you got to answer for it. And these priests that refuse to get involved in this fight will have to answer for that. This is a part of their job.
Are they afraid?
There could be a whole bunch of reasons. You know, there are some that know exactly who the devil is, and they don't want to confront him on that level because it will bring problems to them and their parish. And that I can understand. To a degree. But I know a lot of clergymen will only deal with their parishioners. They feel that if a person isn't coming to church and they don't have a relationship with God, then they should not be afforded, their help. And that's certainly not what Jesus would do. You know, Jesus helped everybody who came to them. It didn't matter who they were as long as their desire was to be helped. And that includes other, good priests. Look at Bishop McKenna or Father Martin. Those guys never shied away from doing battle. Bishop McKenna never shied away from it. If somebody needed help, he helped them. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter what they were doing, as long as their desire was to be helped and to change.
My producer Tom told me that Minister Derek Prince has passed away, so off he goes. Let's go next to Brian in Sacramento, California. Hi, Brian. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Matt? First, yeah. I just want to say thanks to your guest because he's taken on a lot. And I want to say thanks to you, too, because I remember about 5 years ago when I first woke up, I remember calling you when we lost our house. And we were like, man, the banks, we know they're taking everything. And I kind of was like putting it on you, like, because you talked to so many people. But, hey, we should be telling everybody. But now, you know, how our consciousness goes, everything that we come to, like it comes to us all at the same time. So here I am, same time. I'm getting the same thing like you guys are getting. We're seeing more of this demonic presence. And I was really thinking we should ask ourselves, you know, how much of the things, like he said, it's our representatives. We allow them to do really evil things. The more things they do, the more evil comes on us. And I was thinking maybe how much of this is our fault too. And really like the things they do, the wars we go to, everything we do, how much of that's going to be judged upon us? That was all I had.
All right, interesting take. I mean, do we bring some of this on ourselves, Ralph? This evil?
Well, yeah, like I said, you see more and more of society pushing God out. Now, the thing is that, we'll go back to Bishop McKenna to explain this. When he was first ordained, all the priests back then, before the Second Vatican Council, were given the minor order of exorcists. Meaning they got the full authority of the church to perform an exorcism. Back in those days, Bishop McKenna said he never heard of exorcisms. He never heard of possession. It just really was extremely rare that not many of your mainstream priests never even was exposed to it. That has changed because as society has developed, you look at where it started in the 60s, where, you know, things started to change in society. A certain element wanted, more freedoms as far as, to do whatever it is that makes you feel good, which is not what God tells us to do. He doesn't say do what makes you feel good. Come to me and I'll make you feel good. The more we push God out, the more the devil will fill that void. Something has to replace it. God is in it for a reason. And as we push him out, the devil moves in, and more people will fall prey because of lifestyle and choices and the exercising of that free will into areas that they shouldn't be exercising it. Looking at the hidden knowledge that we have all around us, the hidden knowledge is here. It's here. It could be accessed, but we're not permitted to do so. And when you access it, you are now outside the providence of God, and you're on the devil's ground when you do that. So if you open up that door and it gets in and God allows it, then you can have serious problems.
Sure can. Missy's in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Missy, you're up with us. Go ahead.
God bless you, gentlemen, and your screener for allowing me to speak with you. I am in a very, very bad situation. I have been dealing for probably about the last year with various situations, and where I have went from living in a home where we've lived for over 25 years, where I've kind of sensed almost since the beginning of moving there that seemed like there was some sort of an entity of sorts, where it was pretty benign, you know, like kind of coolie breezes, whatever, and just, you know, kind of lived there. But the last year or so, a couple of people that worked for me, when I brought up things that were going on, they said, well, we didn't want to mention it to you, but they consider themselves, quote, sensitives. And they said, we've seen and heard things that we didn't want to tell you because we thought that you would be afraid of. And then I started telling them things that were happening to me, like being tapped in the middle of the night for about 2 minutes straight. And a couple of times of feeling like a person sat down beside me when there was no one there, and my dog was sitting there once, and then he just started barking, and then the whole couch started shaking uncontrollably, like Jeez. There was an earthquake going on, and that lasted for maybe 30 seconds. And that's not really why I'm calling and saying this is so urgent. Before I forget, I also wanted to mention that I had an extremely sentimental class ring, my university class ring that meant the world to me, that had fallen out of my pocket and was nowhere to be found. And I lost it. I knew exactly where I lost it and was gone for about 9 years. Then I had been thinking about it a lot. It had been on my mind, and I mentioned it to my husband that I wanted to give him something from my jewelry box. And a couple weeks later, I happened to be in the same place as my husband, went to my jewelry box in our bedroom and opened it up, and the jewelry box I'd been in a million times in that last 9 years, that ring was sitting right on the top level of that.
It's magic like that. Hey, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with final questions. And Ralph Sarchi, our special guest, deliver us from evil. And Missy, one of the things we'll suggest is that you get a hold of Ralph by email and tell him a little bit more about your situation. On our next Coast to Coast program, split show, but for the first few hours, this is us. Michio Kaku joins us to talk about things going on in the universe. So make sure you're part of that show. We're going to come back and take final phone calls as we deliver us from evil. And welcome back, our final segment with Ralph Sarchi. And Ralph, once you're done doing this, you've retired, but you still have the investigations ongoing. Do you turn anybody down?
In terms of what?
An exorcism or an investigation?
Refuse to take their case?
Yeah.
Well, I'll speak to everybody, and there are two things that I ask. Being that I don't charge anybody any money, there are two things that I pretty much demand. One is they give me 100% honesty, and two, they listen to my advice. If I don't get either one of those things, I refuse to work with the person any further. I turn around, I walk away, that's it.
And I would guess that there have been some cases you have just turned around and walked away, haven't there?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Do they come chasing you, trying to beg you to come back?
No, I wouldn't allow somebody to do that. I mean, if somebody, everybody makes mistakes. And if they make a mistake and they say, look, I'm sorry, I apologize, you know, we'll proceed from here, then, you know, I'll do that. Usually when I get a case, when I get a case like that, and I tell them I'm not interested in bothering with you, I don't hear from them again.
And that's it. Yeah.
There's a reason why they're not being honest to begin with. I look at it as, if you're not going to be honest with me, then why am I going to take on your problem? Because when I get involved in a case, I now have that demon who probably wasn't paying any attention to me earlier. As soon as I accept the case, now that demon's paying attention to me. I feel that if I'm going to take that on, then you should at least be honest with me and listen to my advice.
Good point.
That's fair.
Sure is. Let's go to Lakeland, Florida. Gordon's with us. Gordon, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Gordon. Sure. Hello, Ralph. Earlier when you said you were a police officer, you said one of the most tragic things you dealt with was the loss of children. And I'm not going to tell you the title of my book. That wouldn't be right to promote it, but I wrote a book. And it deals with what happens to children when they die. And you have to have both faith and grace. And the children didn't have faith. And so some people think God would send them to hell. I'm guessing or hypothesizing that God will send them into the millennium, because you're going to have children in the millennium, and you're going to have free will in the millennium. At the end of the millennium, you have the rebellion in Revelation chapter 20. And my hypothesis, based on the Bible, is that the children will get a chance to hear the gospel at that time. Some will accept and some will reject, just like the angels that were in heaven, just like the humans. They're going to get a fair shake before God. So the kids' eternal salvation won't be like locked into heaven forever automatically, like some people say, but they're going to get a fair shake, and God's going to treat them fairly. And those kids that you saw as a police officer die, I believe you're going to see them again in the millennium, which is between the end of the tribulation and the beginning of eternity. And I wanted to get your take on that.
All right. And also, Gordon, I have no problems with you mentioning the name of your book. Go ahead.
When Babies Die, Where Do They Go? By Gordon Wayne Watts. You can get it on Amazon. When Babies Die, Where Do They Go? By Gordon Wayne Watts.
All right. There you go. And Ralph, you know, his...
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let you react to that.
Well, you know, I can only go by what I know from Scripture, and it says that we live life, we die, we're judged, heaven or hell. You go to purgatory for those that, haven't lived the life. You can't enter heaven without sanctifying grace. It's right about that. You'll get that sanctifying grace when you cleanse yourself in purgatory. But as far as children being separated, children are a part of the human race. I don't think God distinguishes between little children and adults, because to us, we're all his little children. So, as far as that's concerned, kids will be in heaven with adults, because, you know, that's where we either go there or we go to hell, one or the other.
Ralph, have you ever had a case where someone who's been possessed and has some faculties doesn't want any help?
Yes, they're what we consider the perfectly possessed. They have asked to be possessed. They have sold their soul to the devil for, whatever reasons, money, power. There's a whole different array of what people desire in this world. And, that's a choice that is made. I have had people who are possessed who would come to me for help, and I set everything up and then changed their mind, and I never heard from them again. I don't know what the situation is with that, but, it happens. And I can't go to somebody's house and drag them up to an exorcism. I don't do that. I hear of a lot of cases throughout the day, and I know what the people are dealing with, because I've seen their interviews, and they're credible, and the phenomenon that they're explaining is very consistent with demonic activity, but I will not call them and say, look, I know what your problem is. I'll help you. That's soliciting cases. I don't do that. I need people to call me and ask me to help them, and then I can give them the help. I won't solicit a case.
They've got to start it themselves then, basically. They've
pretty
got
much,
to
yes.
open the door. Yes. Okay. Let's go to Marie in Pocatello, Idaho, west of the Rockies. Marie, go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
And Mr. Sarchi.
Good morning.
I got a little story about a possession that ended in a disaster. When we were young, we were teenagers, and we used to get together every Sunday afternoon and raise tables and play the Ouija board.
Oh, boy.
Bad idea, huh?
Yep.
One afternoon, it was kind of late in the afternoon, and we were playing the Ouija board. I think we were raising tables, too, and the girl that was kind of running the show said, she says, Spirit, if you're in the room here, show yourself through one of the people here. Well, my girlfriend's boyfriend was sitting on an upside down wastebasket, and it knocked him over, and he fell onto the floor, knocked over the wastebasket, and he wasn't revived for about a minute. We got a little bit scared. But, you know, after that little session, he went home that evening, and he closed his garage door, and he put a hose in his car's tight tailpipe and asphyxiated himself.
Oh, horrible.
And he was a sweet, good-looking boy, no problems. Do you think he could have been possessed by that spirit?
Is he either possessed or some kind of mental illness, Ralph?
Oh, no, he wasn't mentally ill.
Well, you never know.
It sounds like a possession to me, a transient possession. You don't know what he witnessed. I've dealt a lot with suicide, and I know that according to the Catholic faith, suicide is a sin. But from what else I know about suicide is that the people are not in their right mental capacity at that given moment. And the survivors of attempted suicides are, when they were questioned, the thing that they say is that they could not, for that moment, actually, it was too painful to want to live for that moment, and they act on it, and they take their own lives. And I can guarantee you that the demonic influence is extremely powerful at that point. They want a person to take their own lives. It's an insult to God.
Ralph, with most suicides, and again, part of this, we started this discussion trying to determine if it's mentally ill or if there's a demonic possession here. There's no question the person who kills themselves for whatever reason is going through incredible torment, aren't they?
Yes. Without a doubt, and what the survivors have said is that that pain was so acute and so intense that they could not see living on this earth another minute. and these are people who are going to leave behind loved ones. They're going to leave behind kids. They're going to leave behind everything that they know, just to get away from it. I want to know where that comes from. How is that emotion so powerful where somebody can do something that is, you know, you can't reverse it, and it's forever.
You can't reverse it. That's absolutely true. Cindy's with us from Arcadia, California. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I always wanted to call you, George, after your attempted Ouija board experiment, because...
I didn't do, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, I know. And I must say that, you know, when it looked like you were going to do it, I didn't know you as well as I do now, and I was very angry and disappointed when I thought you were going through with it. I got a different impression of who you really are, and I was just so relieved when you didn't go through with it. I know that you would be perfectly safe. It's my own experience as a child that I have fear of what, you know, other children might do who just don't know any better.
Yeah.
When I was about 11, every day after school, I used to play with the Ouija board with a friend of mine for a couple of weeks. And after, playing around with it, at the time we were having trouble with one of our teachers, like kids do. And my friend said, I wish you could do something about Mr., and his name, because he's just an awful teacher. And I was so shocked because after the weekend had elapsed, he didn't come to school. And he didn't come to school, and he didn't come to school. And, I made some inquiries, and I found out he had been in a terrible accident in his car that weekend, which may or may not be coincidence. And I know how you feel about those. But anyway, every night for months after this, and I never really put it together and for years later, but every night for months after playing with that Ouija board, I would hear my name being called by thousands and, thousands probably of different voices. Some of them I recognized, like, being my mother's voice or a friend's voice or in a teacher's voice or in a voice I didn't recognize, and I just, would I just thought, boy, that's weird. I didn't really get sucked into it, thank God. And after many weeks of hearing this, I actually, one of the last voices I heard was like a deep, angry, growling yell, of my name. It was always just my name.
That guttural sound, huh?
Yeah, very guttural, exactly. It was really spooky. It was like, what the movies? I heard the guest mention how some people hear their names. And I've always wondered about that, if that is something that is, that's common.
Is that? I don't know. Is that common or not, Ralph, the name?
Yeah, that's a common phenomenon that goes on in many cases. I have experienced that in my own house. My own family have experienced that. I haven't had that that problem, but it is consistent with, people who have experiences with the preternatural.
Steve is in.
I want to know is. How did it go away? Did it stop? Did those voices stop? They normally, once you invite these things in, they don't go away by themselves. They have to be made to go away.
A lot of people who say they hear these little voices, Ralph, a lot of us think, all right, something's a little wrong here. But maybe it's really happening to them, huh?
Well, yeah, one of the questions that I ask is, how are you hearing the voice? Are you hearing it audibly with your ears? Are you hearing it inside your head? And a lot of people can't give me an answer. I don't know. So that tells me that, their experience is real. Because if it wasn't, they would tell me, well, I'm hearing it with my ears or I hear it in my head. When I ask that question, people say to me the answer is, I don't know. I don't know how I'm hearing it. I know with my ex-wife, she was hearing it audibly because my children would hear it also. And I know she's not going to say things to me that aren't true. These things are very consistent with the way the demonic behaves.
We've got time for maybe one more. Jason in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, Jason.
Back in the 80s, I lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the country, and my mother was considered a holy roller and helping with the street ministry, trying to keep kids off of drugs or whatever you say. And things started happening in our trailer where I started seeing like a green face at the corner of my room from until one night we were driving home and my mom and dad would keep the light on in her bedroom. As soon as I stepped foot inside the trailer, I looked directly down the hall and I saw a black shadow. I completely froze, still in the doorway. My mom looked at me and said, what's the matter? And I said, there's somebody in our house. And she walked all the way down the hall, came back, and said, there's nobody in here. And the black fog or shadow figure came up from the hallway and said, and started talking to her. It said, if you keep doing what you're doing, we're going to touch him. So a couple of days after that happened, I was, I woke up. I was in elementary school at the time. I was completely paralyzed from the waist down. I couldn't walk. I crawled into the hallway and, my mom took me to the hospital. Couldn't find nothing wrong with me. They didn't find nothing wrong with me at all. And so everything just started happening at that point. And, you know, it was kind of crazy. My sister saw things. And
well, you had the classic case of possession. We're out of time. Sorry you couldn't finish all of that. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.